to get into the Word. You got your Bibles? You bring them? No, I'm just going to look on the screen, Bastion. Bring your Bibles. It's your weapon. You wouldn't go hunting without your gun. Unless you're me, I'll just sit in a tree and watch. Just give me some pistachios and I'm good. If you got your Bibles, open up to Psalms 1. I'm going to be reading from verse 1. It says, "Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do." So let me ask you a question. Who are you hanging with? Are you hanging with the wicked or are you hanging with the righteous? Who's giving you your advice, your daily advice, your daily news? Who's feeding you? Is it the wicked or is it the righteous? The ones that are planted by the riverbanks. Are the people around you adding life or are they taken away from you? Some people might be saying, "Man, I'm living with them." They're taken away. My wife ain't here, so I can pick on her a little bit. She adds to me, but she thinks she's funny sometimes because I got this retainer in, and so that tooth is missing until they put that impression in there. And so I don't sleep with it on because I grind my teeth a little bit. And I'll have it out, and she'll be like, "I can't take you seriously with that out. I really can't." It's another time I came from the living room and I was talking and she goes, "Okay, stay outside the door. Just say it from there." And I'm like, I can't pronounce my F's and V's very well. So it's like, I can't take you seriously. I was like, all right, so I got to keep it in until she goes to sleep and I can take it out. She's taken away from my life. No, I'm just kidding. She adds to it. It's almost as if you can see the minutes falling off quickly when you're around people who don't bring you joy, or I wouldn't say, are not very word worthy. They don't know much of the word. When you're sitting around with a group of wicked people, it'll drain the life out of you. And that's the thing. We don't want it to drain the life out of you. You have joy not only when you are with those people, but when you don't. It will be beneficial for you to follow the advice of those who know what they are talking about in life. Somebody who's been through stuff. They've already been in your position before. It's good to sit around those people. They can give you that advice. Things that will be detrimental to your walk or your divine purpose, so good. Grandma, grandpa knows. They've been in that. Your mom and dad, they may know. They've been through that. Sit down and talk with them. But when you're talking with that friend that don't know God, that don't know Jesus, that don't have much of a relationship and they're advising you on something, it's going to take you down the wrong path every single time. Anyone who's giving you advice contrary to the word of God will be considered the advice of the wicked. There are those who don't know God, don't want nothing to do with God. These are the wicked. They don't have God in them at all. They are the wicked. There are those who are believers, who aren't believers, that may tell you something, that may line up with the word, but might be a few degrees off. There are some people that can give you some worldly advice that almost sounds like the word of God, but it's not truly the word of God. There's always a twist to it. Remember, the devil knows the word. He knows the word, so he can twist it up. There are those who will give you some advice and it will be spot on to what God wanted you to know through his word. That's the good ones. Then there are some that may be believers but are trying to lead you down the wrong path because they don't want to see you happy. They don't want to see you joyful. They don't want to see you free or delivered or successful. So they'll give you the wrong advice because they don't want to see you living a good life. And they could be believers, so-called believers. They may want you focusing on their agenda rather than on God's agenda. which, by the way, it will not bring you any happiness, okay? So following bad advice will bring a person into simple ways in which God never intended for you to be. And this passage starts off by saying, it talks about the joys of a person in which he shouldn't do, in which he does not do. Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly or follow the advice of the wicked. A blessed or joyful person does not run around with the wicked. You come into the kingdom, you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You don't go around doing those same things. I can't hang out. I mean, I can, but it wouldn't be beneficial for me. I can't sit around and sip on 40s all the time. Although that sounds appealing, and I get a lot of laughs, there's no joy in it because that's not who God has called me to be. Those who are joyful run to God and they go to his word. And as cliche as that may sound, but his written word is what you will need in times of refreshing, times of renewing, and in times of restoration. His word. And this passage also talks about the joyful, what the joyful person will do. This is what he does. They delight in the law of the Lord. So no matter what his word may say, they know that the word is alive and it brings health to all their flesh. And as open as God's word is, the joyful person knows that meditating on it day and night will bring them closer to God. My God, I just don't feel you. Get into the word. Sit down, quiet yourself, take off your phone, turn it off, delete it, whatever. Put it away. Throw it if you have to. We may say, I don't have time to read day and night. Well, the Bible doesn't say read it day and night. It says to meditate on it day and night. You can take a few scriptures and meditate on it day and night. Over and over again. Meditate on it. It didn't say read it every day. Meditate on the word. The more revelation you will receive from God when you meditate on the word, that revelation is going to be breakthrough. God's word is packed with so much revelation, it will make your head spin. Literally. Not in a demonic way. But it's like, man, I didn't think about this. Where did this come from? I never seen this. I read the scripture 80,000 times. But now you get it. Because you were meditating on it. You were chewing on it. You were getting it in you. There's no rush when you choose to chew on the word of God. So what scriptures or what scripture is the Lord speaking to you about right now in this season? To delight in God's word is to delight in him. Psalms 37:4 says this. Some of y'all may know this. It says, take delight in the Lord and he will give you what? Your heart's desires. When you take delight in the Lord, your desires will be what he wants for you rather than what you want for you. And I know sometimes that could be hard. Lord, I want this. I want that. But when you delight yourself in the Lord, the things that he has put on the inside of you, you're going to want for you. I want what God wants for me more so than what I want for me. Because what he wants for me is going to be far, much, far better than I can ever receive. I want the right type of relationships around me. I want the anointing operating in my life every single day. I want to be planted by that stream so that I may bear fruit every single season. When you take delight in the Lord, your desires will be what he wants for you rather than what you want for you. If you are truly delighting yourself in the Lord, your ways, your life, your actions, your speech, your faith will be exactly what God wants it to be. Many people will get upset with God because the end result of their so-called delight was basically treating God as a vending machine. Treating God as a genie. It's important to want what God wants for you. How does he want your marriage to be? How does he want your children to be? Train them up in the way they should go, and when they grow older, they will not depart from it. Lord, I want to train them up in your ways, not in mine. Your word says, don't train them up in the way I want them to go. Some people may be great storytellers, but God has written out your life already that is unmatched. Don't allow somebody else to tell your story for you. Taking it through the National Enquirer. Why would you sell your rights to your life to the National Enquirer? You know they're going to mess that up big time. Don't allow somebody else to tell you your story. Tell you who you are. Well, I got to go around and explain everything to them. No, you don't. You don't necessarily have to. Never take your time to explain yourself to people who are set on misunderstanding you. In another word, bees don't take their time trying to convince flies that honey is better than manure. I like honey. But some farmers like, I like manure. That's money right there. You smell it. With all the hills and valleys that you may go through, but when it is all said and done, God gets the glory and the honor, not us. So when you delight yourself in the Lord, it will bring joy to the heart like nothing in this world can ever bring. When you delight yourself, it's almost like, why didn't I do this earlier? What was stopping me 5 years ago? What was stopping me from last month? Why is it stopping me from, what is stopping me from spending time with him? The word law can be translated teaching or instruction, which basically is the whole Bible. It's not enough to just read it, but we need to meditate on it. You can be at work and still be meditating on the word with just the biggest smile on your face in every which way. And then people are like, why is Charles over there just smiling all the time? What's he smiling for? Just be happy. Then, you know, people are curious. Charles, what you smiling for? I'm like, oh, man, just, you know, God is good, man. Well, I've heard that expression before, but why is God good? Just going to have to find out for yourself, man, you know. Then they get to the place where they start investigating. Why is God good? Now, Charles can share, or he can just leave it at that and just continue to smile. But regardless of it, he's delighting himself in the Lord even at work. He's delighting himself in the Lord even when family is around. He's delighting himself in the Lord when the enemy is trying to knock on his door in every which way. You delight yourself in the Lord and you meditate on his word day in and day out. Nothing can shake you when you're meditating on his word. You stay chewing on that thing because God keeps revealing something new every time. We dare not say there's no more revelation in the word. We have a heavenly Father that has infinite wisdom. And you can meditate on that same scripture every day. I believe he will give you something every single day out of that scripture. Some type of example, doesn't matter. You can get the Greek, the Hebrew, the Aramaic, all that. It doesn't matter. God can give you something out of that scripture every single day for the rest of your life. That's how much wisdom he has in that. And we can tap into that. If any of you lacks wisdom, ask who? Wikipedia? Google? No, we ask God. We don't know it all, but he does. And if we stay close to him and his word, then we become like the tree that is planted near the riverbanks that bear fruit every season. Every time people may come to you for advice, you never disappoint because you are planted by the riverbanks. You're ready. You always have something that will encourage them. You got something that will build them up. You've got the word that is just going to set their hearts on fire. I mean, I'm talking about that light is getting ready to go out and you just infuse that thing with the word of God. Just light it up again. Man, you just sparked something on the inside of me that I didn't even know was there. I thought it was dead. And that word you gave just ignited something in me. That's why it's important to be planted by the riverbanks, rooted in his word. Trees that are planted by the river have strong and deep roots. They are not easily moved. Storms don't break them. It makes them stronger because they are still connected to the main source of life. They are bearing their fruit every season, and there is chaos all around them. They don't miss a beat. They don't miss a beat. Now, here's the thing. God has made you righteous. If you believe in him, he has made you righteous. He became sin that knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of him. It's not our righteousness, it's his. And he's made you righteousness. And the righteous is planted by God. Do you think God has planted you in the desert where there's no water, no streams, no, how do y'all say, crick or creek? Creek. So you're normal.
Yes.
All right. Some people say crick. All right. Hope my wife doesn't. That's going to change the whole dynamic of stuff for me. No, <it's fine. laughs> He planted you by the riverbanks, an endless supply of water filling you up over and over and over again. You can't help but to grow. You can't stop growing. Meditating on his word day and night makes us like trees that are planted, not buried, by the riverbanks. You were planted with purpose of bearing good fruit some of the seasons or every season. Every season, every season. It wasn't like somebody chopped down a tree and then tried to plant it. You know there's no roots there, so it's going to eventually die. But see, even if you were transplanted, God digs up all the roots and he sets you right there. He's planted you with roots by the water so that you can grow firmly. Every born again believer, quit allowing people to chop what God has planted on the inside of you. Stomp it all out. Place you in a desert, in the wilderness. Or quit putting yourself there. You're not there. You're like the trees that are planted by the riverbanks. See, we don't have to. I'm so thankful that we can read his word every single day. We don't have to climb up a mountain, walk into the woods in every which way. I mean, go on this big time journey in order to get here. Now, for some people, it's a drive. It's a drive out, but they come. Now, we can watch it on TV in every which way. It's available for us. So there's really no excuse for us to continue to be watered by the living word. All of those who have written this Bible by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in book form or audio form has helped us and has given it to us so that we are not easily moved to draw closer to Jesus and to have fellowship with him. We have it in the palm of our hand on your phones and iPads and things. We have it sitting on our coffee tables or our nightstands or what have you. Some people may even have their coffee table propped up with it. But we have the word. Get it out from under there. Put a book under there. But God has purposely planted you by the riverbanks so that you will bear much fruit. And when you do, your leaves will not wither and you will prosper in all you do. You will prosper. Say, I will prosper.
I will prosper.
You can't help but to prosper when you're with Jesus. You can't. I mean, good night. I mean, he's the creator of all things. How do you not prosper? Water is essential when it comes to the life of trees and plants, and the Spirit of God is essential to us to live this life the way God truly intended us to live. The believer who delights in God's truth and meditates on it day and night will come to realize that God is the source of all their blessings they will ever receive. And not only that, God's Spirit is not only around them, but he is in them. The Holy Spirit. In John 7, 37 through 39, it says this, on the last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds, anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart. When he says living water, he was speaking of the Spirit, who would be given to everyone believing in him. But the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet entered into his glory. We have the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of us, and we can stay continually filled up. We just got to be able to make ourselves available for that every day. You don't have to go on empty. You don't have to get yourself out in the desert and it's got to be this big old dramatic climax to God has to come and say, it doesn't have to be that way. It just could be a continuous, consistent filling that you have. And God doesn't just fill it to the top. It overflows, spills on over. Say when. I mean, it is overflowing. My cup runneth over. God knows how to fill something up. He knows how to fill you up. You don't have to go around dry and parched, spiritually speaking. You can drink from the living waters that the Holy Spirit gives you. And the Holy Spirit produces this type of fruit in Galatians 5, 22. We know this. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. If you haven't been producing this lately, ask yourself this question, where on earth have I been drinking from? Who took my straw? The fruit of the Spirit produces this love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I just don't have any love to love that person anymore. Yeah, you do. It's in you. God has given it. When you meditate on his word day and night, it becomes like second nature to you to live like Jesus has lived. And when you meditate, you ruminate. Y'all know what ruminate means? It means to chew on. When you meditate, you ruminate. You go over it slowly in your mind, you chew on it for a long period of time, and then after you ruminate, God will cause it to germinate inwardly. He will cause it to develop and produce on the inside of you. But you have to stay connected to the source. You trade that source off for something else, you're going to get all the lust of the flesh rather than the fruit of the Spirit. Stay planted by the riverbanks. So when you see someone who's struggling like the prophet Elijah, they can come and sit down and eat from your tree of wisdom, of knowledge, of understanding, of patience. Whatever they were needing in their life, love, joy, peace, patience, they can eat from that. That's why it's important for you to stay planted. Sinners loved hanging with Jesus. Because he was like that tree that was planted by the streams. He always has something good to say, something that was going to be worthwhile, something that was going to benefit them. Whether if it was correction or what have you, they loved it because it was honest and it was genuine. It was authentic. He didn't turn around and say, sucks for you, man. Sucks to be you. I wish I wasn't in your shoes right now. He didn't say that. Y'all didn't get offended by me saying that word. Sucks, huh? Okay. If you do, right, Kristen. You have to stay connected. And when you stay connected, you will prosper in all you do. Everything you set your hand to will prosper. Because your soul prospers. The wisdom of God is priceless, and all you have to do is ask. If we are lacking in any area, we just ask the Lord to help us. and he will do it. And God is not trying to hold anything good back from you. Whatever you need in life, he wants to give it to you. He has given you every spiritual blessing. But you just got to be willing to take what he's giving you rather than what you want to get. It's not a vending machine. He wants you to prosper so you can continue to be a blessing to those that need him. This isn't about us. It's about Jesus, right? But you can't have a head without the body. And you can't have a groom without the bride. It's Jesus. So, are you firmly planted by the streams, by the riverbanks? Quit doubting yourself. You have the answer. And the answer is Jesus. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation for any other, for there is no other name under heaven given by men whereby we must be saved. He's the answer. Well, I just don't know enough. I said, but you know something. And that something will help someone. And you can always learn some more. All you have to do is just ruminate. Some people read the Bible, they can read through it in every which way. I read the Bible in 6 months. Okay, that's good, but what did you learn? Not much. I learned that I can read it in 6 months. Now I'm going to try it in 3. Pharisees knew the scriptures, studied the scriptures, thought they were living it, but they didn't know Jesus. They didn't know God. It's not enough just to commit it to memory. His word is alive. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. His word is alive. And it will bring health to all our flesh. You're firmly planted by the riverbanks. And your leaves will not wither. And you will prosper in all you do when you meditate on it day and night. Don't just read it day and night. Meditate on it day and night. Whatever sticks out on you. Wednesday nights, whenever we do it, I said, what is sticking out on you? What is the Lord saying to you throughout that lesson plan? Why? Because that's going to stick with you for the next few days or weeks or what have you. What's sticking out to you? What's jumping out when you read the word? What is the Lord saying? You know, Pastor Tim, I never read that scripture before. You've read it. It's just you're in a different season. And that word is speaking to you a whole lot louder and clearer than it did a year ago. So are you firmly planted? You can confidently say that, yes, I am, because I am the righteousness of God. Jesus makes you righteous, and he has planted the righteous by the riverbanks. And whenever you feel dry or parched, just ask the Holy Spirit to fill you up again. It's a continuous thing. So you never run empty. So when your friends and family need you, you're there. When your spouse needs you, you're there. They can eat from your tree. What you need, a peach, plum? You need a good word? You're ready. You don't have to compare yourself to someone else. But I guarantee you, you're going to continue to grow more and more each day when you do it. Grow closer to him and grow closer to the word. Well, he is the word. Amen. Father God, we just thank you for today. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that we are firmly planted by the riverbanks where you have set us, Lord. not in the desert, but by that river, by the creek, by those streams, Lord. We thank you for that. That in every season we are able to produce fruit that is beneficial to our brothers and sisters and even those out there in the world, Lord. How we're continually being a light. And Father God, I thank you for every person who is here and those who aren't. I believe you are speaking to them as well. Help them to continue to draw closer to you and continue to show your word through the word, your revelation through the word, Lord. And we just give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.